Walter, your host, once again, coming to you from the Clock Tower facility on at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, the home of Coins Plus, the home of arguably one of the nicest facilities in the United States for industry-specific, I guess, activity. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin, precious metals, broker, dealer, depository service. We are always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of gold and silver, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. Been doing it for a number of years, a couple decades plus. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism has been our motto since day one. I have a big, long, extensive model written somewhere that includes that. It really is important to us. I had a conversation with a guy today who, was getting his business going, and it's pretty simple business, but he was talking about his business philosophy, and I said, it was obvious. I said, well, obviously you're a Christian. He said, well, yes, I am. And I said, well, so are we. And I said, it boils down to working as unto the Lord. And folks, that is what it's all about. And I said to him, I said, few people understand what that really means. And what that really means is that you ignore, look away from, avoid the diversion of people. People are our greatest diversion. People are our greatest distraction. People will bring us, people can lift us up. People can tear us down. The power of our speech is incredible. The Bible says that we have the power, that our words have the power of life or death. Okay? So if you have people in your life that you struggle with, and that are struggling with whatever, okay? Don't be afraid to encourage them. There are people that struggle, literally struggle with encouragement. I have a very close friend who's in a marriage, and he's a sweetheart. He's just a great guy. But his wife needs encouragement, and this sounds really dumb, but he can't do it. I mean, it's not that he doesn't want to encourage her, and it's not that he doesn't love her to death. The words just don't come. It's so weird. And, he's just as kind as they come, and his wife encourages him. But I'm like, dude, you got to encourage this woman. He'll tell her he loves her to death and hugs her and does things for her, but the actual encouraging aspect is super difficult for him. And I mean, I don't know if that's a little bit of a genetic thing. I don't know if it's from the way he was raised. I just don't know. But I can tell you that we are to encourage one another. I can tell you that when you really want to get harsh, the Bible clearly tells us about to let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, only that which is edifying for those around us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Ouch, okay? Ouch. I struggle with that because I'm human, and I speak, I say things I should not, no doubt. And I'm a very strongly opinionated individual. I want to be godly. I want to be. Now, remember, the term righteousness means, at least biblically, it means right-hearted before God. Okay? It means that your heart is right before God. And we want to be righteous, don't we? I mean, we want to be righteous before the Lord. We want to please the Lord. If you don't want to please the Lord, you're probably not a believer. And it's really interesting how simple salvation is, and yet how difficult it is. It is the cheapest, simplest, most expensive, hardest thing a man can do. There's something crazy about our will. We're all familiar with pride. The Bible's crystal clear about pride comes before a fall. And it's just really difficult for us to give our lives up. I'm a little older now, and when I was young in college, when I heard about the Lord, I was so excited, and I wanted to share it with everybody because I thought once everybody hears it like I've heard it, they're all going to just jump ship, and they're all going to come over to Jesus' side. And I just thought, this is the coolest thing going. And I found out people make conscious decisions to reject Jesus Christ. And if you're ever ashamed of the gospel or ashamed of Christ, I mean, with all due respect and from the kindest perspective, shame on you. Do not be ashamed, for I am not ashamed, right? There's a scripture. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Not to mention, Jesus said clearly, if you if you accept me before man, I'll accept you before my Father. He says, if you reject me before man, I will reject you before my Father. Now, that may be a form of blasphemy where the Bible tells us that there's one unforgivable sin, the sin of blasphemy. Now, that's an oddly debatable topic, isn't it? I mean, people are like, oh, I know what that means. That means, you know, that if you reject the Holy Spirit, then that's it. And, or if you reject God verbally, that's it. Okay, well, Peter did it. Peter rejected God, but he was redeemed and edified and brought up and lifted up. And, you know, he served God. And, you know, hypothetically, the church was built upon him. I know the Catholic Church takes credit for it, but the Catholic Church didn't really form for 300 years afterwards. But, you know, so blasphemy is not that. Blasphemy, I believe, and remember, we're talking about the one sin that Christ said is the unforgivable sin, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's powerful stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's like there's certain things, or in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't believe in God, it's again, it's the same thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't believe in God, you can't please him. Now, I've had a couple shows I've discussed faith, tough stuff. It's really interesting because I thought, right, I thought that I had faith, and I think I kind of do. But at the same time, you get into the faith movement, which can become a bit extreme. Last week we talked about truth and how important the truth was, how important biblical truth was, how important the truth was, period. And we talked about how that tied in and interwove with the truth of God's finances and the truth of how God set things up. But then you got faith. Faith is a thing where you believe all the time. Now, I've got faith and trust as two separate issues. Faith is something that when I became a believer, my faith wavered. It bothered me. It hurt. I struggled with it so hard because I was like, man, I just accepted Jesus Christ. I know it's real. It felt real. It transformed my life. But what got me was the 4.6 billion years evolution stuff, and I thought, and it just made God seem so cold and so distant and so detached. Okay, so then I'm like, okay, in 4.6 billion years, suddenly man appears on earth, and all of a sudden, this God that created everything seems to care about me and 8 billion or 7 billion others. But you know, as time went on, and I prayed, Lord, I know you can give me faith, and He did. And so far it hasn't really wavered, but when I say faith, don't get me wrong. I don't mean complete trust. And I'm being completely honest with you. I wish that I could trust God all the time. And you know, God, when we go through hard times, I mean, we go through, I just had a massive, sale of a very substantial piece of real estate, and it's been a long time coming. Very substantial. And there was a few different potential buyers, and they were lowballing, and there was this, and there was that. And then all of a sudden, and it just felt weird, and it felt like, man, we're going to get beat up. We're going to take a huge loss on this thing. And it was, you know, not the best investment I've ever made, by the way. But FYI, folks, real estate, please understand, real estate is not a given. It's not a guarantee. It is a rotter, okay? Real estate rots. It's so easy to buy and so hard to sell. It's just the way it is. And so we waited and waited. Simultaneously, two buyers at the same time had gotten essentially bids back to do some construction. And right now, if you know anything about real estate, the cost of building is astronomically through the roof. Absolutely unreasonably high. So both of these buyers who were feeling empowered prior to this had a big, powerful wake-up call, and they saw suddenly this incredible value in this property that we were offering, which, you know, that's neat, right? We got full price and all that on a very substantial property. But on the other hand, I'm sitting there going, I'm the one that took the loss because it would cost so much to replace it and blah, blah, blah. But what I was getting at there was the trust factor, okay? There's faith. Faith is knowing. It's believing in God, believing he exists, believing he's there, knowing that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. What's really difficult is the faith when Jesus Christ says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to basically go jump in the lake. I'm like, you know, that's definitely the Kevin paraphrase version. But what is that faith? What does he mean by that? Does he mean, you know, he says, if your spirits align with his and you pray this or you pray that, this, you know, God will answer and this is how. Folks, that's interesting stuff because when's the last time you heard of somebody praying for a mountain to go jump into the ocean and it did? So I think it's very, very allegorical. And I think what it means is that, you know, we pray these things sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. We love God. We pour our hearts out to him. And then he answers them. And there is so much. I think I even did a show here recently on answered prayer, basically believing that if you believe, God will fulfill, right? God will do what he says he will do, when he says he will do it, how he says he will do it. He will fulfill your desires because your desires are aligned with him. And many of us get into situations in our lives that seem impossible. They seem insurmountable. But when you go back through the Bible and you look at the stories of Joseph and you look at even Abraham and you look at, you know, all kinds of people, Jesus, obviously, and you look at all these people through the Bible, they come through the hardest of situations, the most brutal. Paul wrote half of his epistles sitting in a jail cell. Now, there are some things in his epistles that I'm not completely sure of, and that's a conversation for a whole other day because that can really offend some people. But in general, 99% of it, I mean, it's definitely inspired scripture. There is records, rabbinical records of Saul, of Tarsus, was it, that fit, you know, the Paul Saul that we know today, as being one of the greatest scholars in the history, the greatest rabbinical scholars in the history of Israel. So he was supposedly just an absolute brilliant biblical scholar. So when Jesus grabbed him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he made him blind and he basically brought him to. He went and he recruited the best of the best. He recruited the guy he knew he needed. That's the power of God. God can turn hearts. God can change hearts. And that's where trust is the hardest part of our lives. We can have faith. You know, the Bible says, you say you believe. And then it says what? Even the demons believe and shudder. Okay? So just because you believe in God, the Bible says in order to be saved, you have to receive him. Just because you believe in God, big deal. He says the demons believe. Every human, maybe a bit of a stretch, but the vast majority of humans throughout history until recently have believed in God. Atheism, or the rejection of the existence of God, is a very new spiritual movement. It's a foolish movement. It's, you know, evolution. Why Darwin came up with that dumb idea sitting on the islands of the Galapagos Islands, you know, and then people know that by his deathbed, and oh, the evolutionists hate this, but by his deathbed, Paul rejected his own theory. He said it would take too long. It's not reasonable. In the amount of time that we've spent on this earth, folks, as humans, we have no record, no recorded history of a change of interspecies change of that would justify or support evolution. People say, oh no, that's because they have what's called punctuated equilibrium. They say that it jumps, that just suddenly out of the blue for no reason, one species jumps and becomes another species. Now that's just really foolish in my opinion. And it's all designed, number one, because kids are taught this stuff and I feel bad for them. Do you know how many kids or people that think they're evolutionists will argue, quote, they'll say, I've heard it over and over, they'll say, well, there's evidence. They've scientifically proven that evolution exists. Well, how have they proven it? If evolution existed, folks, we would live in an absolute mess. In fact, I'll take that a step further. If evolution existed, we would not live because we are not survival of the fittest. Now, we're like, yeah, but we're intellectually superior. So our incredible intellect, which made us bipods, upright standings, animals, or whatever you want to call us, beings, gave us the power to overcome the brute strength of these large, violent animals. That is not even sensible. Evolution would continue to create better and better and better killing machines. Very interesting when you get into the dinosaurs. that there's people that believe dinosaurs are a pre-flood creation. I've heard of the devil, of all kinds of things. You know, biblically, where did the dinosaurs come from? There's evidence that they were on the earth with pre-flood. There's arguments in Jeremiah that they were a pre-Adamic creation. We have, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was without form and void, which means utterly devastated and destroyed. Perhaps there was a life of a different form on this earth before God reformed it and rebuilt it. I don't know, but I can tell you it would be pretty trippy to be on this earth at a time when dinosaurs roamed. I can't even imagine it. I mean, I can't even fathom it, but maybe that's the case. You know, it's awesome. So anyway, so you got your faith and then you got your trust. Your trust is believing that God works his best through your toughest times, believing that he cares for you. And by the way, he does. God cares about each and every one of you. He created each and every one of you. He has a destiny for each and every one of you. We all get down in the pits. I know people get suicidal even. They think their life's not worth living. I was talking to a friend of mine who has oddly known a number of people that have committed suicide, all the way down to 22-year-olds in college playing college football, all-star, spectacular athletes doing very well in life, and something triggers and they do themselves in. They don't see their future. They don't understand. They need people to know their love. They need to be encouraged. They need to be held. You know, we've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to put our trust and our faith into God to let him have the reins and realize that it doesn't look ever like we want it to look. One thing that's very interesting, because the earth is Satan's domain, God will do miracles to pull us through incredible tests and trials. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they threw them in the fire. Now, could God not have easily had 100 different scenarios that would have prevented that from happening? He did. But instead, he chose to throw them in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar, or whoever it was, looked in and said, "Hey, didn't we throw three men in? I see four. And the one looks like the son of the living God," or whatever, you know. And God carried them through. And when they came out, it had burnt the ropes and everything off. And they had the smell of smoke, and that was it. I mean, a miracle beyond miracles, right? An absolute phenomenal miracle. But God carries us through. People use the flood as an example of a pre-trib rapture. That is not even consistent. The flood, God chose a small group of righteous people who obeyed him, who built an ark and waited, based on the voice of their hearts. They detached from the world, and they built this ark per God, per his specs, per what he told them to do. And then they went through utter, dire tribulation that you can't even believe. I think we easily lose touch with the fact that the flood was terrible. I mean, the concept of there being water covering the mountaintops of every mountain on earth prior to the tectonic plate shifting, which I believe came later from the center, you know, of Pangaea, which, by the way, Egypt happens to be the absolute dead epicenter of that, which is why a lot of it was preserved in the pyramids and the Temple of Apollos and whatnot. But, you know, the flood itself was just terrible. So the book of Jasher, which is found in sacred texts, the book of Jasher is mentioned three times in the Bible. Whether or not the book of Jasher that's found in sacred texts is exactly the right one or the same, I don't know. But I will tell you that many of the answers to the Bible exist out there. And in the book of Jasher, it discusses the fact that man, that Noah and his family were tossed inside of that ark at a level you can't even fathom. Just sheer, you know, abuse, upside down and sideways. God had taught them how to design an ark that could endure and withstand the impossible. When they find the remnants of the ark up on Mount Ararat, they find these huge stabilizers from the side. And what ships used to do is stick out huge logs and then hang rocks from them to stabilize with big holes in the tops. There are rocks all over this area of Ararat where the ark rests. That they're way too huge to have been moved there by man, and they're a different kind of a stone. And God left a lot of evidence of the flood or of the ark up there. And, you know, there's a small group of people that obeyed God, and they were carried through the storm. They weren't pulled out of the storm. They were miraculously carried through the storm. When you study the book of Revelation and then you study Matthew 24, I think you'll find, if you're open-minded, you'll find that Jesus tells us that we're clearly going through the tribulation without any doubt. And so that's fine. Prepare yourself, you know. And we're going to see an acceleration. And I think what's important to understand is things are going to happen quickly. There's going to be world changes coming quickly. In the last, folks, you would not believe in the last year, the struggles that I have seen employees go through because of what I would call a fascist police state influence. One has a son who's is extremely falsely accused of rape. He basically made out with the girl and told the boyfriend, and the girl wanted to be vindictive. And away that story goes. Okay, high school kid. Another one who had sent a picture to his friend of his father's hunting rifle. Immediate suspension from school, meetings, claiming that this child is mentally disturbed and he needs counseling and he needs this and he needs that. Another one of the employees has a Child Protective Services calling him because a neighbor complained that he lets his children ride their bikes unsupervised in the street in a very nice neighborhood with extremely wide streets, great big sidewalks. The kids have helmets on. They don't go far away, but apparently they go up the hill, which is about a block down. He can see them fine, whatever. The point is that Child Protective Services has to come to his house, has to do this, has to do that. When we were young, or when we had young children, I got a call one time from Child Protective Services, and someone had claimed that my wife was beating our child in the grocery store. Well, what she'd done, I believe, is maybe kind of swat him on the butt. The problem is my wife had rheumatoid arthritis. And believe me, it's a tough disease, and it does not give her the ability to fight or defend herself or strike anybody with any force whatsoever. This lady called on this anonymous complaint. Of course, they can never tell you who gave the complaint, so you can complain on anybody at any time. Don't be that person. She told me to bring my children down and, you know, for this evaluation and that. And I said, no. And she said, you have to. I said, no, I don't. I said, we don't beat our children. That's that. You know, the conversation was much more in depth than that. But I just said, no, absolutely not. I will not. And luckily it went away. But the fact of the matter is we are moving into a time where the police state is truly taking us over everywhere. You know, when you go through the airport, I am not, just repeat to yourself, I am not a human being. I have no rights. I mean, what they put you through, not to mention the full body scanner. There's all these arguments that the x-rays cause cancer and all that. Of course, they deny all that, just like they deny the destructiveness of vaccinations. Folks, I will tell you, vaccines are bad. Period. There's so much evidence of it, but they won't release it because of the billions and billions of dollars. They've got people on. I was just talking to another doctor the other day. They want everybody on these extremely expensive drugs. Everybody needs to be on SSRIs or antidepressants for anxiety or anything they're struggling with because they're very expensive. There's some that get as much as $200 a pill, I was looking at online. The average is like 19 bucks a pill. Now, the same with painkillers. You know, they with this opiate epidemic, what's happened is morphine now, you can get like, oh, what was I reading? Anyway, it boils down to morphine costs 33 cents a pill. Because it's an opiate that's grown in the earth, it's easy to make, blah, blah, blah. So they're moving everybody away. The DEA has a huge budget. They want to get people off of this stuff. Now, one thing that is an unpopular belief of mine, is I'm a little bit libertarian, is I do know stories of people that use them responsibly. They need them. They've had extensive surgeries and whatnot. and they use them to function, and now the doctors are being forced to take them all away, and they send people to these pain clinics. In fact, I have a relative who has been through this. She has, you know, terrible knee problems, shoulder, back. She's in her late 60s. She's in tough shape, tough life, grew up as a horse on a horse ranch. And, you know, she was using pain meds, and suddenly they have to take them all away because the pressure and liability is so great, so they have to send them to pain clinics. Pain clinics sell the insurance company these ridiculous $3,000 to $4,000 electronic apparatuses that put little, you know, whatever you call it, where they stick little electrodes on your body, and you're supposed to increase the electromagnetic impulse a fair amount in order to stimulate your body to say, look over here, ignore your pain over there, look over here. They have to put them through a couple of those, sell them a few of those. So it costs insurance $7,000 or $8,000. After they say, okay, that doesn't work, then they'll use, you know, traditional pain medication that goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, just like our monetary system. God created a monetary system from day one. It worked. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's what he wanted. We create our own. And what happens? We absolutely devastate ourselves. The doctor I was talking to on the pain medication or the opioid epidemic said the pendulum has swung from them saying pain is the fifth vital sign to, you know, pain is whatever. This doctor told me that he knows. I've talked to two people that know orthopedic surgeons that will literally give people, you know, six pills after a serious bone surgery and say, if you want more, you have to go to the pain clinic. I had a doctor here. The doctor I was talking about told me that there was an individual who had an extensive back surgery. He was in a full body cast on his back, couldn't get up, couldn't move. He needed additional pain medication. The doctor could not or would not prescribe it. So they forced this guy to get picked up by a shuttle in a stretcher, hauled to a pain clinic in a full body cast in order to get approved for some kind of medication, which he can only get once a week, filled, and so on and so forth. So to me, that's all tying into this police state. I really believe, in all honesty, you know, that we are in a police state. Fascism, whatever you want to call it. The one problem is you've got this Antifa, anti-fascist, you know, supposedly. And they're the worst fascists of all. They want the government to take over everything. They don't even know what they're talking about. And so I guess in a number of circumstances, we are in a police state thing. I mean, everywhere you go, we're getting, you know, massive surveillance data, you know, retention they keep. There's no real evidence that it assists law enforcement or counterterrorism, but we do it, okay? We have these long-term jail sentences for people, including journalists who reveal intelligence operations with the personal power to launch prosecutions in the hands of the attorney general. We have insider threat laws, which further reduce the already limited capacity of intelligence officials to reveal criminality or be whistleblowers. They've created all these laws now post Edward Snowden that, you know, somebody who comes out and says, look, there's a problem here. They're risking their whole lives of incarceration, you know, and on it goes. We've got, you know, we've seen the attacks. We've seen the concerted attack against an opposing political party to the contingent party. In other words, Obama and crew went after Trump with all they had. It was a miracle of God that Trump got elected, and praise the Lord. You know, we've got the union thing and, you know, and on and on and on. We've got all kinds of intimidation issues that are constantly going on. And you get the picture. I've got a list here I'm not going to get into. but I definitely think that we are in a, I think we're definitely transitioning quickly into a police state fashion. We've focused everything on the use of aircraft as a bomb. That's a concern. But that is, the concern isn't that it'll happen again. The concern is that they've used it as a way everybody eventually travels, as Daniel prophesied in the end times, about the time when people shall travel to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Well, the Hebrew translation for that is that people will be traveling internationally quickly. And that in addition to that, the knowledge shall increase. We're creating more information on a minute-by-minute basis now than we were before 1900, per century. Okay, so things are changing. So, you know, there's a lot of civil liberties concerns, that at least that I have. I'm a born-again believer, conservative, you know, but I'm looking at, you know, these indefinite military detentions of U.S. citizens Obama put in by the NDAA. I'm looking at, you know, the killing of U.S. citizens labeled as terrorists. I'm looking at arresting witnesses for recording police activity. There's plenty of video where police will take someone's phone, throw it on the ground, smash on it, smash it, stomp on it. You know, anything to hide their actions. We've got, you know, GPS tracking, and police can access your phone. And you know, folks, I'm not trying to. The scary thing is they say, look, if you've got nothing to hide, what do you got to care about? Well, I'll tell you what, our founding fathers cared because the government became overbearing. They didn't have these electronics. But you know what's interesting? You go back in time and you think, okay, well, now we've got all this modern technology and we can track people and find them and people can't get away, which is true. But after Moses killed the man in Egypt, he disappeared in the desert for 40 years. So somehow they had the ability to retain that information for 40 years. At least he was afraid they did. He knew that sooner or later it would catch up to him. So he went and he hid. We've got surveillance drones spying on American soil at a rate you can't even believe. You would not even believe what's going on if you understood it, folks. It really is true, okay? And so there we go. Back on recording, and that's okay. And by the way, folks, the previously recorded radio shows are available on our website, okay? They're available by podcast and all that, too. I don't even know how to get to that stuff. I'm working on a bunch of different things for the website. I got to do some video stuff tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to because I'm not an actor. But the bottom line is that we, you know, we at least provide this service. As far as the podcasting, maybe later you'll be able to find it. Go to our website, coinsplus.com. All the previously recorded radio shows are available there for you to find. Okay? So just remember that. He who hurries, you know, let's talk a little bit about investing, okay? One thing that happens when you invest is you need good counsel, planning ahead, diversification. You know, this is what the Bible tells us. This is the common mindset. A lot of brokers, I would say, abuse the, you know, the diversification thing because right now, we have got an absolute bull market going, an absolute booming bull market, right? That is truly pushing and pushing and pushing numbers up. But at the same time, what do we got? At the same time, we are seeing absolute volatility. That's nuts, okay? It's not comfortable. It's not, in my opinion, it's not comfortable at all. It's a level of volatility that is, it's just a bad sign, okay? So we push the market up. We've got people pouring their money into it. I think a lot of it's coming in from 401ks, IRAs, you know, and things like that. Now, if you have a 401k or an IRA, folks, come and see us. I'm not kidding you. You can simply put that into metals. I will be honest with you. I practice what I preach. I love rare coins and I love precious metals. Every penny that I have, every liquid cash is in precious metals. Granted, it goes up, it goes down. You know, there's a lot of numismatic coins that I believe in strongly and heavily. We are in a situation where things are a little bit odd right now. I've got people, friends that are in the gun business. The guns have cooled off. Why? Because Trump's in office and people are not afraid that they're going to take our guns or overarm. The problem is under Obama, we've already overarmed. We ordered over 1 billion rounds for Homeland Security. I can't even imagine what that looks like. There's warehouses somewhere filled with ammo and guns. Why? Is our country, our own leaders, planning a coup against the people? Are they expecting a severe uprising? You know, we don't know. But I do know that you got to be prepared. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but the reason for the Second Amendment was simply so that you and I could protect ourselves against a runaway tyrannical government. Now, there is a quiet creeping of police state in intertwining, infusing, whatever you want to call it, each and every facet and aspect of our lives. They're out there. And folks, it gives me unease to talk about this stuff, but I just want you to know it's real. You know, when you're going to invest, Proverbs 19, it's not good for a person to be without knowledge. He who hurries his footsteps errs. When you do impulsive investing, okay, and that's what happens when you get these insurance salesmen selling you annuities, and I've got clients listening right now that know. And if we didn't have various challenges in getting callers on the line, I would do so to just let you hear from people who've been through this stuff themselves. When you buy annuities or whole life or all this other stuff and you buy, you know, bank on yourself and all these things, folks, your money is gone. I'm just telling you straight up, it's gone. Huge, fat, juicy commissions get paid to the salesmen, to these insurance licensed salesmen. The paychecks are big, okay? These are not certified financial planners. Certified financial planners will put you into various mutual funds and whatnot and so forth. Now, I'm not going to sit here and deny, I wish a decade ago I bought Apple and Google stock. Not going to deny it. Would have been a beautiful thing. An absolute wonderful buy. I would have loved to have it, but I didn't. And those were one of so many, and so many have failed. So it's so important that you understand that impulsivity. And, you know, once a market's run, you got to be wise. Now, when you own precious metals, they're going to fluctuate, but at least you got what you got, and you know what you got, and there's no question about it. Never changes. You know, Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Folks, I want to tell you something, and this is especially to the ladies. And again, I know we're in an era of sexism, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but I don't intend to. Do not use your desire for approval to determine who to finance with, okay, or invest with. You're getting people. I have ladies call me that are trying to buy people's life insurance policies so that when they die, they get a piece of the cut and someone else gets a piece of the cut and they get a certain percentage of growth. And There's so many different things that can change that. And why would you want to gamble your money on somebody's life insurance? It's not smart. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, Proverbs 28 says, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. I think when God includes the creation of precious metals with his creation story in the Bible, that might be a little bit of a wake-up call. He created an asset that is made for you to invest. It's designed as money. It's a way to preserve your capital. Create your own gold standard. I talk about it. Many of you sit out there and you listen and you're like, oh, yeah, I can do that whenever I want. I wish I would have bought gold at $400 an ounce. You know, folks, but I hope when you think that way, you're not one that's pumping all your 401k and IRA into paper, paper, paper. Right now, you are inflated, escalated, expanded, and stretched out. This is not, when you buy precious metals, you're not investing. You're buying God's money. God said it's money. God said it's wealth. I can sit here and tell you with some sincere honesty from the bottom of my heart, I believe deeply, I know that Jesus Christ would have only owned gold and silver. Do you know there's no word in the Bible for money? Only gold and silver, because gold and silver was money. It always has been, always will be. I mean, all the way through heaven. It's good enough for God. It's good enough for all of us, right? This is who we are. This is what we need. This is what we need to be. Don't try to look for some secret get-rich-quick scheme. If somebody says, I remember there was that Pat Kiley on the radio, you know, who had this big scam about how he makes money because Muslims don't believe in, or Sharia law doesn't believe in usury, and he had these great connections to buy money to make, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he took, can you imagine this? He took $300 million of people's money. $300 million. How good of a lifestyle could you live on $300 million? And do you know he walked because he set up this younger guy named Trevor or Trevin or something like that? This young, naive man who was apparently kind of a protege of Pat Kiley ended up taking the whole bath for everybody else. A wise man thinks ahead, okay? A fool doesn't, and a fool even brags about it. Luke 14, for which of you intending to build a tower, think about this, does not sit down first and count the costs, okay? That's what the Bible says. Whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and he's not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Ironically, folks, I've seen that. There was a beautiful neighborhood up north, Arrow Point, where people literally, there was one man in particular that started this incredibly beautiful home, looked like a magnificent mansion, and he ran out of money. He didn't have the money, and it sat there forever, and he kept trying to do it himself. There was a house, I live near or on Coeur d'Alene Lake a lot, and there was a house up there that was the same way, up in Windy Bay, unbelievably beautiful home. The people were apparently borrowing money from the bank. They ran out. The builder took them way further than they ever thought. And guess what? You know, they lost it all. They lost all their money to the bank. Not wise. That's not what we want to do. You know, the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. It says, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. What does that mean? It means that the ant never stops working, never stops moving, never stops trying, okay? Always saving, always working. This is what God wants us to do and be. And you need to just build brick by brick by brick. If you come in here, I don't care what you're doing. You got your 401k and IRA. I would highly, highly recommend you get a hold of Mike. Let's transfer that over. We've seen less of that lately. Why? People get these big inflationary numbers. You love it, don't you? Isn't it awesome to get that statement? I mean, I will say, sadly, lately. It hasn't been too impressive, but it is, you know, the, I guess the indexes haven't been that impressive, but there was the big rally, the big run, and we've got, you know, now we're sitting there bouncing all over the place, and it's really going nowhere. But people always remember that little rush. And you go back to the dot-com craze, you don't have to be too smart to go back to the dot-com craze and look at what happened. I mean, when it was over, folks, it was over. And that is just the trend. There's a bubble in real estate. You better not be building real estate right now either. I can tell you that right now. Don't do it. I've spoken to absolute respectable professionals. They say the levels of cost, the cost of building is unsustainable. It will not remain this way. You need to know better, you know, just avoid it, et cetera, and so on and so forth. Just absolutely avoid it like the plague is what I would do right now. I personally would get your money into hard assets. Folks, silver's just dirt cheap. It's been to $50 an ounce in the last few years, and now it's what, barely 16-ish, you know? So, I mean, that's a great value. We've got more. We bought the other half of that collection of those proof commemoratives I discussed. Extremely low mintage. Certified mint state gold coins, a quarter ounce each. We've got another small stash of those. If people, I know last time we ran out and people got angry, well, that they didn't get some. And I know some people got frustrated. Folks, just so you know, when you buy metal from us, our process goes like this. If you come in with a cashier's check, typically you walk out with the metal. If you bring cash, you walk out with the metal, typically. If you write a personal check, we have a 10-day hold. We're looking at changing that just because electronics and technology has made the clearance a lot quicker. But once you buy, you lock, you own. The other thing, we've got uncirculated rolls of proof coins, okay? Proof silver like dimes, quarters, halves, not a lot of them, maybe a few thousand dollars worth or more, but they trade, you know, just for a hair over silver. There's a lot of crazy things like that. Uncirculated Benjamin Franklin half dollars are trading, you know, at 20 bucks per dollar face, you know, and silver is 16. And they're historically huge money. So we've got a lot of interesting things we can put you into. But I really believe in what we do. I know I talk about it. I'm talking about it more right now because the value is there. And also, if you have really intensive, you know, first of all, if you've ever dealt with investment rarities, okay, get a hold of us. Show us your portfolio. Especially if you were dealing with them back in the 90s or early 2000s, they sold a lot of really quote-unquote exotic numismatic coins. If you've got that stuff, call us. Let us evaluate it. You may want to take profits or loss or whatever is there and move into what will give you instantaneous growth. Like I said, I'm moving some pretty upper-end pieces of real estate. Every penny that I have is going into numismatic coins and precious metals. I believe in it. The upside's huge. The downside doesn't exist. It's a great time to be buying that stuff. So prepare yourself. I mean, that's just the way you should be prepared. I think it's very important that you have yourself balanced in a biblically sound way. I think that God rewards those who seek him. I think there's no questions about it. I think God wants you to save and invest. You know, Proverbs 21:20, and we're about out of time. The wise store up, but fools gulp. The wise store up their food and oil, but fools gulp theirs down. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Don't just jump in foolishly. Use your wisdom. But remember, plans, plan. Planning to fail is failing. Or how about failing to plan is planning to fail. And then there's a long Matthew 25, I don't have time to go into, about the man going on a journey, calls his slaves, and entrusts his possessions to them. To one he gave the talents. We know about the talents. We're responsible for what God gives us. So be prepared. Precious metals are, the ultimate form of wealth. There's nothing else like them. You don't be biblically balanced and biblically well-rounded. All you got to do is give us a call at 444-0044. How about that? 509 is the area code. 444-0044. That's it. Just give us a call. We do it all the time. I don't care if you have 10,000, 20,000, 30, 40, 50, whatever it is, IRAs, 401ks, we roll them over. It's cake. It's easy. We'll get you set up, locked down. But you will be in the most liquid form of cash money there is on earth, okay? Period. Liquid, liquid, liquid. No junk, no games, no surrender charges, no back-end loaded fees, no sitting around 6 months filling out paperwork, trying to figure out where your stock is, no trying to time the markets and waiting days. You can walk in here and out with the money for your metal in moments. Literally, there's nothing more liquid or more fast. There's just nothing better on earth, okay? We're in a beautiful position. Our timing is wonderful. You couldn't ask for a better time. I cannot think of a better time. So please keep us in mind. Make that move. Just don't pay the penalty. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Danger's coming, isn't it? So give us a call. Let us help you out. It's what we do. We love you. Hey, don't forget the Google reviews, free silver dollar. You do three of them with Yahoo, Google, and something else, and you get two free silver dollars. You can't beat that. Call us. Prove you did it. We'll take care of you. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. We'll be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.